Now, if you have a Bible with you this evening, we want to read a few verses from John's Gospel and the chapter 5. John's Gospel and the 5th chapter, please. John's Gospel, chapter 5, and we'll commence our reading at the first verse of the chapter. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Now we'll end our reading there, and we know the Lord will bless to our hearts once again the public reading of his precious word. Now let's bow together in a wee word of prayer as we turn now to the word of the Lord for the remainder of our gathering together here this evening. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Father, again in the Saviour's precious name we bow before Thee. We thank Thee, our Father, for the one who is the theme of our song this evening. And our Father, as we come now to the handling of the word of God, our gracious Father, we look to Thee that we know the help, the aid, the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. And grant our Father that this blessed one of whom we have been singing this evening, may he be the very centre and attraction of our message this evening. We realise, our Father, that where he is uplifted up, men and women, boys and girls will be drawn unto him. So, gracious Father, we look to Thee, that Thou will come amongst us, draw out all of our hearts after Thee, and grant our Father that as we meet around the Word this evening, that the Lord Himself will draw very near, and Father, peradventure any are amongst us knowing not Christ as Saviour. Gracious, loving Father, we look to Thee again, that this will be the evening when there will indeed be that effectual calling down deep within the human heart, that will indeed call some man, some woman, some boy or some girl, call them, loving Father, to repentance and to saving faith in the Lord Jesus. These things we ask, giving Thee our thanks again in the Saviour's worthy name. Amen. Now, the portion of Scripture that we have read together this evening here in John's Gospel in chapter 5, it brings before us a very human and a very moving scene. We have here the scene that's set before us here at the pool of Bethesda and those 5 porches where a great multitude of impotent people, we're told about them there, impotent folk, blind, halt, withered. Here they are, they're gathered here, and they are in tremendous and great need. You know, dear friends, as we consider the place that these dear folk are gathered together in all of their need, we are reminded of the meaning of the word Bethesda. Bethesda is a word, and the meaning of it is house of mercy. And dear friends, right within the very precincts of the house of mercy, there is this great multitude of people, and here they are. They're in great need of mercy, of love, and compassion. Dear friends, What a sight. What a sight for you and I to consider as we read it together here in the Scriptures. But friends, what a sight it was for the great physician, the Lord Jesus. You see, dear friends, it was to this very scene that the Lord Jesus made his way on this occasion. And dear friends, as the Lord looked upon that scene, that sad scene, that human scene, that scene of misery, surely he must have thought that this world was one great big hospital. Look at it, friends. We can picture it in our minds so easily this evening. All of these dear folk gathered around, all in tremendous need. Now, dear friends, there was a reason, a special reason, for the gathering around this pool of this great multitude of people. You see, friends, it was common enough. It was a common enough occurrence in the days of the prophets, whenever Judea was in a much better state, to have and to experience miracles like this. But here, dear friends, at Bethesda, you and I, in this meeting this evening, I believe we're getting our very last opportunity to take a look at the very last remnant. Those good old days, listen, they're now fading out. They're just about finished. And you'll notice, dear friends, that on this occasion, there was only one. Did you notice it in the reading? There was only one who, upon the troubling of those waters in the pool by the angel that descended, only one was healed of whatever disease they had. Can't you see, friends? Here is a power, and it's very, very limited indeed. We're witnessing the very last remnant of those good old days when Judea experienced moves of God like this. Dear friends, it's to this very scene that the stranger of Galilee drew near. He has just begun his public ministry. He's just completed his second miracle. Here, he's about to complete his third miracle. You see, dear friends, he came to the wedding in Cana of Galilee there just prior to this, changed the water into wine. Then he met with a noble man who had the son so ill. Dear friends, again, the multitudes witnessed the wonder-working power of the Lord Jesus. And friends, those dear folk who have gathered around again today, they're about to see the wonder-working power there is in this stranger of Galilee. Now, I want us to think about this lovely old miracle that we have here before us this evening. First of all, dear friends, I want you to notice this. The Lord knew all about this man's disability. I want you to notice that. The Lord knew all about this man's disability. Friends, didn't we read there, when Jesus saw him, look at verse 6, when Jesus saw him. Mind you, there was much that day to catch the eye of the Lord Jesus. Think of that scene. Keep it in your mind now. So many were told it was a great multitude that were gathered there, all with various diseases, complaints and troubles. What a scene for the Lord Jesus. But friends, notice this. When Jesus saw him, my dear friend, do you see the eye of the Lord Jesus? It fell upon one man amongst that multitude of people. One man came to the notice of the Lord Jesus. Here's one man, dear friend. He's singled out from the whole mass of humanity all around him. You know, dear friends, it amazes me to think that the Lord set His eye upon me. He sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood. And I, as a poor lost sinner, listen, there was a point in the great plan of God. And the eye of God fell upon me and He saw me in my great need. And dear friends, I know not why God's wondrous love to me has been made known. And here you are in this meeting this evening, every single one of you. Listen, the eye of God is upon you this evening. But if you should be here this evening, listen, without Christ, the eye of the Lord's upon you, perhaps in this meeting this evening, in a special way. And friends, the Lord wants to single you out from the crowd in this meeting this evening. And He wants to speak personally to you. Yes, friends, why does He do it? Listen, He knows all about your disability now. He knows all about your disability. And friends, His eye is upon you. But furthermore, this man, the Lord knew all about his disability. But listen, He knew how long he had been affected with it. You see that as well. You see, here's a man, and he's been like this for 38 years. 38 years this man has been like this. Now the Lord knew all about that as well. Oh, He knew about the disability. And He knew how long he had been like this. Now friends, I want to suggest to you this evening that this perhaps is maybe an aged man. For 38 years he's been like this now. He's no longer a schoolboy. School days are all ended for this dear man. Indeed, it might well be that this could have been an old man. I tend to lean towards the thinking that he was an aged man, because when I read verse 14 further down, you see a little later on, Jesus found that man in the temple there. Now, that's a good sign, isn't it? It's a good sign. He found the man in the temple, and what did the Lord say to him there? He says, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." Dear friends, I wonder today, wonder this evening, is there the suggestion there that it was years of practice in sin that led to the man's disability in this instance? I don't know. I wouldn't be dogmatic about that, but I lean towards the feeling that this was an aged man, perhaps. Listen, friends, whether he was or whether he wasn't, listen, the Lord knows all about your condition this evening now. And He knows how long you have been in this condition. Could it possibly be that in a gathering like this, there's somebody here, and you came to meetings like this in a mother's arms, like the little one who went into that room and can hear the service just now? Maybe you were brought here like that. And maybe for you this evening, Sunday school days, oh, they're a thing of the past. And you were taught by faithful Sunday school teachers. Aye, and they're fresh in your mind tonight. And when God touches the secret spring of memory, oh yes, those days, yes, and they all come flooding back, don't they? Listen, friends, the Lord knows all about the years that you have been a hearer of the word. Now I wonder tonight, after all the years of being a hearer of the word, in a meeting like this, do you occupy a seat and you're still not a doer of the word? Listen, friends, the Lord knew all about this man's disability. And He knows all about you tonight. Now don't try to run away from the Lord any longer, because you can't hide now. Adam, the very first instance, he tried to run away and hide. But friends, there was no hiding place. And there's no hiding place for you either. Yes, the Lord knew all about this man's disability now. Isn't that wonderful? But secondly, the Lord knew all about this man's disappointments. Mind you, this man was disappointed, and you and I don't believe, can really grasp what the disappointments must have been for this man. You see, many a time this man had tried to get to those troubled waters. Yes, there he is amongst the great crowd, and many a time he has tried. And he tells the Saviour, look, whenever he's actually trying, can't you see him? My, he's almost there. He's almost made it. And then listen to the words, someone else just steps in before him. You and I, dear friends, can't grasp what that disappointment must have been. To see that weary soul with all of his struggle to get down to the pool. Can't you see the struggle the creator would have? Trying to get back to that old couch to take a seat again. Then whenever he makes it there exhausted, perhaps the thought comes to him, what? What if those waters are never troubled again? What if those waters are never troubled again? I may not have another opportunity. Listen, friends, the Lord knew all about this man's disappointments. Maybe you're here this evening, dear friend, and you have had disappointments as well. Perhaps you can look back over many years. And perhaps you can look back to times when you were almost persuaded. Almost. For one reason or another, you never made it. You never made it. And indeed, perhaps tonight you can recall friends, and maybe even Sunday school companions from an earlier day, who placed their faith and trust in the Saviour, and tonight you can picture them, you can see them going on well with the Lord. Ah, you've had disappointments, haven't you? But you know, there's maybe another disappointment you have. Maybe there's somebody here tonight, and you've had disappointments from false professors. Mind you, that can do a tremendous harm. Indeed, there are those who profess to know and love the Saviour. And friends, we have heard it again and again of some of the things perhaps they do. Listen, friends, I wonder, are you here this evening? You're disappointed by those who make a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus. Listen, I have words of advice for you this evening. Be here and you're looking at it like that. Listen, forget about those, dear folk. Every one of us will give account of himself to God now. And whoever that is that may have disappointed you with their lives and those things in your eyes that perhaps are not right, listen, leave you that with the Lord. Leave you that with the Lord. Listen, linger no longer. The Lord knows all about your disappointments now. The Lord wants you to focus on yourself, on eternity, and your never dying soul. But thirdly, I want you to notice, the Lord aroused this man's desire. And that's important. The Lord aroused this man's desire. Now, you see what the Lord says to him there? He says, wilt thou be made whole? Do you see verse 6? Wilt thou be made whole? You know, dear friends, I want to suggest to you this evening that here's very, very plain speaking on the part of the Lord Jesus. What's the Lord Jesus saying whenever he sees this dear old soul here in tremendous need? And he just looks at the dear man. Wouldn't you and I think from a natural standpoint, surely the Lord would know rightly that that man wants to be made whole without asking a question like that? You and I, from a natural standpoint, wouldn't we think that? Friends, I want to suggest to you in plain, simple English this evening, I believe what the Lord is simply saying to that man is this. Why are you here? Why are you here? You see, friends, I believe the Lord wants to arouse this man's desire. He wants to focus the man's mind. He wants to focus the man's mind on the man's particular need and his awful need and danger. That's what he wants the man to do. And friends, that's a necessity. If you are ever coming to know the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior, you know what it is to be singled out by God, the Holy Spirit. You know what it is to be spoken to directly as an individual by Him. And friends, you'll have your mind focused on things that are spiritual and eternal. And the thing uppermost in your mind will be, I have a soul to be saved. And that truth, listen, it won't go away. And you want to have the matter settled and settled in God's way. Listen, friends, this evening, we word of warning here. Beware. Beware of coming to God's house and forgetting why you're here now. Mind you, we come and we go to the house of the Lord, don't we, all of us? Saved and unsaved alike, we come and we go. It's the thing to do on a Sunday, isn't it? It's the place to be on a Sunday. The prayer meeting and everything midweek, listen, it's the place to be. Listen, don't forget the reason why we're here. Don't forget the reason. Come with your mind focused on the purpose of being here. You see, dear friends, years ago it may be that for you in the meeting not saved tonight, you came with the hope of going away with God's salvation. Friends, perhaps there was a day whenever you really desired God's salvation. But listen, is it possible tonight that such a person is here and you have fallen into that trap of just listening to sermons and never considering your special need? Mind you, friend, you have a special need. And the Lord wants you to get your mind of all around you and about you and get your mind on that special need. You see, the Lord wasn't satisfied here. Take note. The Lord wasn't satisfied here in these verses with this man beside a pool. Oh, not at all. Not a word of that from the Lord Jesus. He wasn't satisfied with the fact that the man was at the pool. Not at all. He wanted to arouse the man's desire. Friends, that's what the Lord wants to do in meetings like this. He wants to single men and women, boys and girls out, focus their minds on the things that really, really matter. You know, dear friends, coming and going from God's house, you know what it's a bit like? It's just like those doors there on their hinges. They open, they close, they open, they close, and they'll keep on doing that. Listen, friends, the Lord says, wilt thou be made whole? Now here's a man. Take note. Here's a man and he can't make himself whole. But notice, he could have the will. He could have the will and the wish to be made whole. Listen, friend, are you here tonight? And above and beyond everything else, do you desire God's salvation? Oh, that some dear soul was brought to that point tonight that I will and I must have God's salvation. Dear friends, God the Holy Spirit can give to you the will to do His good pleasure, even in a meeting like this evening. But friends, be warned again, you'll not be saved now against your will. You'll not be saved against your will. The question was not, take note, the question was not, wilt thou be put into the pool, but wilt thou be made whole? Now what's the Lord doing here? He's trying to focus the mind of this dear soul that he's so helpless, he can do nothing. And if he's ever going to be made whole, he'll be made whole in God's way. Now that's it in a nutshell, dear friends. That's what the Lord's seeking to do. And friends, that's what he wants you and I to do. If you and I are ever going to be in heaven, friend, you might be waiting on some great vision, some great happy, clapping feeling. Listen, friends, you don't read about things like that in the Bible. Oh yes, you might feel good, and you will feel good when the truth of God's salvation sinks in. But listen, friends, the simplicity of the gospel is this: let your will to God be given. Trust in Christ's atoning blood. Look to Jesus now in heaven. Trust in his unchanging word. Ah yes, friends, but notice again, the Lord heard this man's complaint. See the way the Lord spoke to him. Now, he's aroused his desire, hasn't he? But now the Lord hears from this man a complaint. You see that? And the Lord heard it. Now, friends, here's a very, very sad complaint. Look at it. This is heart-touching, dear friends. Look at that dear man. He says to the Lord Jesus, I have no man. He had no man to help him to get into that pool. You see that? Not a man to bear him down to the water's edge that he might step in. Dear friends, there are those that are sitting around that pool, and it's obvious in the reading there, and they had kind friends. My, they would have taken it in turns to watch for the troubling of the waters. My, they would grab their friend that they had come to love dearly, get them down to try and get them in first into that pool. But listen, friends, look at this dear soul. Is it possible? Is it possible that here's a dear soul and he's lost all of his friends? Isn't that dreadful? There's a heart-touching story that's in front of us this evening, friends. Perhaps he started out well. But 38 years. 38 years of waiting. It's too much. And one by one, the friend's seats were emptied. One by one, they all went away. You see, friends, those friends that he perhaps had in an earlier day, listen, they'd all lost hope of him ever making it. And he's just left there to fend for himself. Brethren and sisters, there's a message here for us all this evening. There's a message for you and I here this evening. You know, there are many this evening. There may be a need of a wee bit of help from a Christian friend. Perhaps you, perhaps I, could maybe bear someone down to the water's edge. That water's edge to which they can't get by themselves. Now, we can't save them. But maybe we can help them to get so far. Wonder, could you do that? I wonder, could I do that? You know, friends, I believe there's an art in this thing. And I believe it requires special training from the Lord in this. Wonder, could you bear somebody down this evening? Help some dear one, yes. Help them down to that water's edge, that they may drink of the water of life and live eternally. Listen, the Lord heard the man's complaint. I have no man. But lastly, and very quickly, the Lord met the man's need entirely. Isn't that wonderful? What an outcome. What an outcome for this sad, heart-touching, heart-rending story. The Lord met the man's need entirely. You see, dear friends, the power to make this poor soul whole, listen, it was in the Christ who stood beside him. Here's the Blessed One standing beside this dear man, commissioned of God to save sinners and to help the helpless. And listen, here's a dear man, friendless. And look who's beside him. The friend of sinners. Oh, friend, this evening, are you here? You're without Christ. Maybe you've been brought this evening like this dear man to realize just how helpless and hopeless your condition is. Maybe you're here and you realize as never before, I'm without God, I'm without Christ, I'm without hope in this world. Listen, friends, the friend of sinners, the Lord Jesus, he's passing through the moor tonight. He's here. And friends, he'll meet your need entirely. Now you'll notice that this poor man, he never asked anything of Christ. Do you see that? This poor man, as you read that story, he never asked anything from the Lord Jesus. You see, dear friends, his looks, his helpless condition, it was all that was needed. And friends, us, all the fitness that the Lord requires to save you tonight, all the fitness he requires is that you know and you're very conscious of your need of him. But you know something? The Lord did far more for this man than he could ever have thought of. Now, are you listening? The Lord Jesus says to the man, rise. Rise. Take up thy bed and walk. And friends, with the command of the Savior came the power. Because the man's will had already been touched and aroused by the Savior. Listen. With that word came the power to rise and the will to act. And friends, the miracle was completed. Now friends, that's God's way of salvation this evening. That's God's way of salvation. Are you here? Troubled about your soul? It's the uppermost thing in your mind this evening, that precious, never-dying soul. Remember now, it'll occupy one of two places throughout a never-unending eternity. And friends, I must tell you beyond doubt this evening, what you do with the Lord Jesus will determine where that soul will spend eternity. This evening, he wants you to feel, to know your need, to realize it as keenly as never before. Friends, if you'll only come this evening, he'll save you. And he'll save you now on the very seat where you sit. Let that will of yours to God be given. Trust in Christ's atoning blood. Rest on Jesus and that finished work. And if you do, you'll be saved. How do I know? I know because of the authority of God's word. Friends, that's what I did as a poor, lost, guilty sinner in my helpless estate in June of 90, 14th of June of 19. You could argue me out of many a thing in God's book tonight. I don't profess to know very much about it. But listen, friends, one thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And I was there when it happened. And I ought to know. And friends, if you're going to argue me out of God's salvation, listen, you'll have to disprove God's book for me now. I'm standing on the promise of God my Savior tonight for eternity. What about you? Friends, all other ground, take it kindly, all other ground, it's sinking sand. Now you might put your faith and your trust in a church. The church can't save that. You might have your confidence in some place, some practice that you hold dear to, principles that you uphold. But listen, friends, it's in none of those things, however right and proper they might be, listen, the way to heaven, are you listening now? It's in one person. That person is the Lord Jesus and the work that he has done. Will you come and rest in that work tonight? And if you do, on the authority of God's word, you'll be in the coming day, that voice of yours will swell redemption's song with that countless multitude. May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen.